Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is a good friend of the station, sometimes a co-host of Good to Grow, and does a little bit of everything here on campus, John White. John, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis. Glad to be here.
And John, I mentioned that you do so many things on campus, and you do, and off campus. What is your official title?
My official title is Garden Curator here at the Chequawin Desert Gardens.
And so you're busy all the time.
Yeah. We got the big plant sale coming up, so that takes months of preparation and stuff, so it's not something you just pull off at, in a few weeks. So we've been working on that for a while, plus the garden's coming to life, so there's a lot of things, garden chores that need to be done out in the garden, so we're busy working on things there in the garden.
And we tried to get you earlier in the week to talk about this, but you were busy with the annual plant sale. Tell us about how long has this plant sale been going on, and tell us a little bit about what people can expect this year.
Yeah, we're about in the 22nd or 23rd year of it now, and so we've done it for a number of years. When we first started, we thought nurseries will be selling native plants and stuff, and our plant sale only be good for about 5 or 6 years, and then we'd have to go on to something else. But I think there's less native plants in the nurseries now than there was back then, so we're still going good. So we try and bring in a pretty good selection of native plants and desert adapted plants, so plants that will grow in the area. We have a bunch of plant pros, we call them, plant experts, that'll be there to help answer questions and point out some of the plants that might do better in certain areas versus others and that kind of thing. So it's usually a good event. We bring in, several thousand plants, so people have a lot of choices. And when we have people there to help answer your questions, so hopefully it's kind of a one-stop shop.
Is it too early to say or to tell us, is there going to be something different or unusual this year that you're going to bring? Because you always have the best sellers, and you always know that these are going to sell. But sometimes someone may ask for something completely different, and you'll have it.
Right. We're bringing in a tree species, an oak species called Quercus gravesii, which is the Chisos red oak. And we have not offered that in a number of years. And finally, our suppliers have some red oak, and Chisos is out of the Big Bend, Chisos Mountains, Big Bend. And so it is somewhat of a, not exactly local to El Paso, but it is in this end of the Chequawin Desert. And we have one in the garden. It's a beautiful tree. And so we'll have those offered this year. So that'll be kind of a new one. We also have the Mexican rosewood, which is Nuevo León. And that one we have not had offered for a number of years either. So we're bringing in several of those. So those are, the rosewood is a very nice evergreen kind of screen or hedging type plant, gets about 10, 15 feet tall, nice evergreen, has beautiful clusters of white flowers on it when it's in bloom, and like I said, evergreen, so it is a very nice screening plant, or it's going to be tall, so you can use it as a screen or as a background plant, and then plant other things that aren't as tall in front of it, so you can kind of work with it different ways, but it is a very drought tolerant, good plant to use, so we will have that this year.
When people in other parts of the country are talking about snow, rain, the kind of snow that covered our ground are the mulberry. What do you call them, those things that fall off the tree?
The catkins, the male pollen-producing part of the plant.
And so that is something that, people might wonder, well, because these are already on the ground, we've had some winds, is that it? Is it going to stop? Do I need to take care of my plants in a certain way, or is it not yet too early to get ready for spring?
Well, spring came a little early this year, and who knows what this weather's going to do. It's really messing everything up, but we have some plants that really haven't come out all the way yet. And I think it's the hot weather, the cold weather, it keeps bouncing back and forth. These plants don't know what to do. So there's some plants that have not seemed to be bothered by things. They're coming out good. And then there's others that have kind of like just kind of really slow coming out. And, some of our mesquites are partly out. Some of them are fully out. And you go out in the wild and you look at what's going on, out in the wild, you'll see mesquite trees, in the wild that have a lot of foliage on them. And then there's other mesquites there that are kind of half filled or almost look dead. You know, I think it's just, you know, a lot of plants need a good chill to really knock them dormant. And then, you know, when it warms up, they come out good. And with this mild winter, I think it's kind of messed a lot of plants up. And so hopefully when the heat comes on, you know, it'll stay that way and things might get themselves corrected a little bit. We just don't want extreme heat. But those mulberries, they've, you know, bloomed out early because we had earlier warm weather. So you have all those male catkins that have are either on the trees or just fallen off the tree. But if you're sweeping them up, raking them up, there is still a lot of pollen there. And if you're highly allergenic to them, then you want to make sure to have a, you know, allergy dust mask on or have somebody else clean them up. But get those raked up and moved out of the area, because as you stir them up, you're going to stir more pollen up. Now, the pollen is not the same as seed, so it's not going to cause a bunch of baby plants to come up. But usually those trees, those mulberry trees that produce a catkin, they are usually fruitless. And so they produce more male flowers and no female flowers. So all that pollen is just shedding off, you know, causing allergy problems, but you're not getting any fruit production. You know, we had an allergist on the show many years ago that said, you know, we got a lot of shots and stuff that we can give people that'll help them through this period, you know, but trying to totally eliminate allergenic, you know, materials is next to impossible.
And there have been moves and efforts to get rid of mulberry trees. But as you mentioned, it's just impossible to get rid of all of these allergens because there are so many other things that contribute to people's allergies.
Right. I mean, there is a ban against planting any new plantings of mulberries, which has been in effect for 20 or 30 years. We're not really getting new mulberry trees planted. A lot of the older ones are succumbing to age and drought and things like that. So there are not as many mulberry trees as there once were. And so that is helping to reduce some of it down. But there's still, like you said, other things that can create allergy problems. I just recently went through some allergy tests, and, you know, I don't have the runny nose and runny eyes and all that type of reaction. But they found, you know, from the different pricks on the skin that there are several things that I'm allergic to. And the allergist was explaining to me, as we get older, sometimes we develop allergies to certain things. So, like I said, it's dust, you know, in the house, dust mites, pet dander, hair, you know, things like that, mold, fungal spores, and then plant pollens and stuff all can create problems. So it's hard to pinpoint exactly which one is triggering it, but pollens usually are from plants that are wind pollinated or that are the allergenic ones. So we have some weed species, some grasses, you know, that are wind pollinated. We have some trees and shrubs that are wind pollinated, and they will put pollen in the air. But your nice flowering, you know, roses and stuff, that pollen pretty much sticks, and it's insects that help pollinate those flowers, so it's not reliant on wind. So those flowers are usually not the allergenic type plants.
And what about from our alma mater, NMSU, the mulberry willow?
New Mexico State developed a weeping mulberry, which we actually have an example of one here in Leech Grove on campus here at UTEP. That was developed by Dr. Sullivan in the horticulture department many, many years ago at New Mexico State, and he found a branch that was weeping and grafted it onto a trunk of a fruitless mulberry or a bearing mulberry. And so that tended to keep that weeping growth habit to it, so he put it on. But we now have a fruitless weeping mulberry and a fruit-bearing weeping mulberry. So again, the fruitless one would develop more male catkins, so it would be an allergenic problem. But a lot of the big mulberries on New Mexico State campus, a lot of those have succumbed to weather and age, and so you don't see as many of them on campus now, and they have replaced them with Chinese pistache, and Chinese pistache is also a wind-pollinated tree. That particular pollen's not quite as allergenic as the mulberry pollen, and the amount of pollen is not as great, but it's another one that's a wind-blown, wind-pollinated plant.
As people are getting ready, and as you mentioned, spring did come join us a little bit earlier than usual, people are wanting to get busy as the days get nice out there, be in their garden. So is there anything specific that they need to be aware of before they start planting a garden or just flowers in general?
Well, if you're doing garden or flowers, vegetable garden or flowers, I tell people that, you know, as a horticulturist, we make a lot of recommendations based on historical climate data and things like that. And, you know, lately with all the global climate change, whatever you want to call it, it's making it very hard to make recommendations because you don't know what's going to happen the next week. And so our last frost is, you know, for El Paso is here at the end of March, you know, first part of April. And after that, you're safe to plant. But we haven't had a freeze in I don't know how many weeks. So it's kind of thrown everything off. So hopefully our heat isn't going to come in quicker. But the things you want to watch about vegetable gardens is we plant, ideally you like to plant by soil temperature. So you can get that data for different seed. But we want to use warm season vegetables, plant them at this time of year. So either you buy your tomato transplants and your pepper transplants, melons and stuff like that. There's some things you can start from seed, but you do want to work the ground up, loosen the ground up. If it's lacking organic matter, you want to work that organic matter in real, real good into the soil. Work it in, you know, a foot, 10, 12 inches deep, and work it in real, real good, loosen the ground up, and then, you know, plant your seed and keep everything watered well, and you should have a pretty good garden started. Now, that's just the start of things, because then you got to, you know, keep it weeded and keep it mulched and, you know, kind of keep the plants alive and keep them growing. So that has to be done throughout the year. And as we get hotter, some of those plants may need additional water. So you may have to up your watering schedule or put down a mulch to help keep moisture in the ground. Or if it's just too plain hot, you may have to look at some kind of shading material to put over the plant to kind of help protect it from water loss.
You mentioned earlier about your upcoming plant sale and how you're going to have a Mexican rosewood and an oak tree. How big of an area do you need at home to plant these if people are thinking about purchasing these?
Those plants there, the tree, you're probably talking out planting maybe one tree every 20, 30 feet apart. So these are going to be trees that are going to be 30, 40 feet tall and almost as wide. The rosewood will be somewhere about 15 to 18 feet tall and probably somewhere around 12 to 15 feet wide. So you would want to plant them, you know, on a minimum of probably, depending on how thick a hedge you want to make, you could probably plant them every maybe 6 or 8 feet apart and they would grow together and make a nice hedge. If you want a little space between them, then you would move them out, you know, 15, 20 feet apart. And that way they'll grow to good size, you know, have a natural shape to them, and yet they'll be fairly close together. But if you need a solid hedge, then you want to plant them closer together.
And as far as the plant sale goes, if people show up and they have concerns about whether or not this is going to work in their home, at their home, do they need to perhaps, you know, bring pictures of what they can show you to, so they can say, well, you know, I bought this tree here and it's going to be too big for my area.
Right. You know, with the camera phones and video things that are out now, people, you know, they bring their phone camera and they'll pop up pictures of the yard and stuff. And that is very, very helpful because we want to know what the exposures are and what your soils are like and things like that. And we can kind of help make some recommendations on what plants to use, or if you have a plant that's not doing well, take a picture of it and bring it with you, and we'll try and help diagnose what might be the problem with it. But, you know, kind of have some measurements in mind, you know, things like that. But, yeah, we'll be glad to look at pictures and try and help, you know, give you some recommendations of what to use. And we are using desert-adapted native plant material, so, you know, if you're looking for something that's a little bit different, you know, we may not exactly have the plant to fit that, but, you know, maybe we can give you some ideas on what to go look for.
Well, John, thank you so much for being with us here today to give us some early gardening tips. Thank you.
Thank you, Louis.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KGB Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Kim Garcia. Our producer is Daniel Paulus. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.